Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, that was Kimberly from Alpha Media USA. She did a great job on that ad, and I'm here tonight to discuss the truth about love with my stars, Maya Moon. Notice I say my stars, Maya Moon, because she belongs to me. No, she belongs to stars. I like to say that. Anyways, love is a pretty big topic, I think. If you say I love you to someone, it can mean a lot of different things. It can mean I love you or I love you, or there's a lot of different ways. But tonight we're going to talk about the meaning for that, those words, and the definition, and how, you know, about attraction, something about attraction. What does it mean? Does that develop into love? Can that develop into love? What about somebody that you feel is yours? You want to meet this person. I mean, can it really happen for you? Does divine order play a part in this? I believe it does. So, Maya, I'm going to let you start off because you are the expert in love.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I don't know about that, but, welcome, everybody. We're so glad to have you. And, It's my pleasure to be here as well. And we do love to hear from folks. We don't do readings. I know Natalie will tell you about the chat room. It's open, and Stars Priestess Candy runs the chat room, and there's many readings done there. She's the expert with that. But if you would like to call in and you just have some general comments about the show, we would love to hear from you. And we do have, you've listened to the show before, then you know that we do get people calling in from time to time, and you don't have to be worried or afraid. Nobody knows who you are. It's not like television where everybody sees you. So, you can remain anonymous. You don't even have to use your real first name. It's not the same as being broadcast on CNN next to, you know, one of the candidates or something. But love. I get asked that question, okay, as an expert. One of the things that I believe that I struggle with, I think that there's a lot of different ways of expressing love, and there's a lot of different forms of love. But what sometimes I will be asked, well, does he or she love me? And, you know, I might counter that with, well, that's difficult to answer because that person's definition of what love means to them in that context may be completely different. So the other person may have feelings of love or caring, but they may not love them. I believe that oftentimes in romantic situations, just to kind of start things off, is that for a lot of us, and more so I would have to say females, in romantic relationships, we tend to see, you know, they call it the L bomb, you know, the love word. They tend to put a lot writing on that, and that love means a promise and a commitment, and that's not necessarily true. And then you have the alternate side where they may be with a person for, say, 6 months. They have a great relationship. Everything's going just very, very well. But that person has never used that particular word. Does that mean that they don't love them? So there's really a lot. I believe that love starts with divine and with our spirituality. That's where love comes from. Love is within all of us, and then we give it out, or we should give it out, and we should do that, you know, all the time. We shouldn't do it sparingly. But then when it comes to romantic relationships, commitments, we have to be careful with what we attach. So I guess for me, what I would say is that we have to stop and think before we say it to someone and before we expect to hear it, or if we hear it, we have to make sure that we're on a level playing field, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And also you can say, I know I have some really dear friends and will always say love you, or, you know, I mean, that's just something, that's a term of endearment. Also, it doesn't have to have the passion and all of that in it, but you can say that like to a girlfriend, I mean, or even a male friend that you might have, and just say love you, you know, because you're fond of them. I'm trying to think, you know, even when I was younger, I don't even think when I was younger, is that I knew what love was. I really didn't. I mean, I didn't have anybody that I could really follow to tell me or to, you know, instruct me as to what love was. And I think sometimes love can turn into such depth that you become obsessed with that other person if they do not reciprocate. And because you're holding on to that love. But I agree. I think it begins with the divine. I think everybody has that love. And don't you think sometimes, Maya, that like some men or even women are afraid of that word love and to say that to someone because of the closeness that it means or the expectations that is put on it? Like, oh, if I tell her I love her, she's going to think we're going to get married. I mean, that's, you know, used to be that way. You do this, then you do this, and then you do this. That's not always the case. I think that you have to see what shape that love takes from that person. Sometimes it takes a really long time. Some people are very afraid to say that, maybe because of the intimacy of it, the closeness of it, what it really means. And I tell you I love you all the time, and you do that to me. So there is a satisfaction there, we know, on both ends. And Candy, she's in the room, I tell her that too. Many of them, I'll say, well, love you, and X's and O's. That's my signature. I always do X's and O's. And I've always done that since my days beginning with Planet Stars. I don't know why, because to me, those are little signs of I care for you. You know, that's, you're important to me. I'm trying to think back in school. You know, I think I was more, I have Venus and Scorpio, so I think I had more of a suspicious side to me, and could have been obsessive, because that's what Venus and Scorpio is. They have, sometimes they get a little jealous, they can get really jealous, and it destroys them and turns them into some kind of a monster that they really are not. And maybe it's because they didn't go through the steps to tell somebody that they love them or show that they love them. That's a big word. Love is huge to me. It really, really is. And I think it can encompass a lot of things, not just the closeness to the person. You can do things for somebody that you love, and they know, and they can be appreciative. So there's a lot to it. I don't know how you feel about that, Maya, but that's, I wasn't in love when I was young. I don't know about you. Were you? I mean,
yeah,
real young, like high school.
I think that there's different, like you said, there's different levels of love, and there's different forms of love. There's the, you know, the friendship, the caring that's built from a friendship, you know, like saying to each other that, you know, we love each other. I have girlfriends that I always say, love you, girly, something like
right.
that. And that's a term of endearment. We understand what that means. It means that we care about each other. So I would have to say that when I was young, that the feelings that I felt, I don't think they're comparable to what I would say now is my definition of love. But at the time, at the level that I was able to be at, it was the deepest emotion, you know, both in friendship and my best, you know, having a best friend all through high school. I definitely loved her in a platonic way, And then there, you know, I had a few boyfriends that I would say that at the time for what I was capable of, I would call it love, but I don't feel that it compares. I mean, maturity definitely plays a part. And I think that you have to look at the whole person. There's a lot of people, that's not necessarily a negative thing, but there's a lot of people that saying I love you is just, it just comes out. So if a male to a female, or I mean male to male, if you're gay, of course, but in a romantic setting, for some people to hear I love you, it's earth-shattering. And like what you said, it's like a promise that means marriage is next or exclusivity or something. But there's a lot of people that just use that just like, hey, how you doing? They're not really expecting you to say, oh, well, let me tell you about my day. They're just, that's just a greeting. So I think there's people that overuse the word and they're not really attaching a specific meaning to it. And then there's other people, like you said, that are very reluctant. They may have grown up, you know, I know families that never said, now I'm not that way. I have, my youngest is 19, almost 19 and a half. And I tell him, when I text him, I almost always say at the end of a text, I love you. And when he leaves for work, he is living with me, with us, with my husband and I. I always say, love you, honey. And he, I have to say, he says it back. He's a pretty affectionate. And luckily he's not listening because he'd probably kill me if his little rapper friends knew that about him. Yeah, my son with the blonde dreads, yeah, he's pretty funny. He's got his swag going on. But, you know, he's kind of a romantic, and he's interesting just to put it differently. He's 19, and I would say he's probably had two loves in his life, and at the time they were serious, and so I treated them serious. But if you get what I mean, then there's people that grow up and they never say that. They never hear the mom and dad say it. That they don't say it to the children very often. And so they grow up, and don't you think, Natalie, that there's some people that grow up that struggle because maybe of their childhood, of what,
exactly,
what the definition of love really
is. I was
what,
thinking that. Yeah, like if they come from a broken home, like say the father takes off and they have the mother, the mother is there, and then if you're a gentleman, you know, if you're a man, growing up in a home with, you don't have that influence from your father, it's different. It really, really is different. Now, in my home, when I was a little girl, most of us know about my home life, but we didn't really say that. When I got older and I had my son, yes, we did on the phone, but I talked to them. I made sure I talked to them every day. Now, my son, for example, I mean, he will say that it's a given. I mean, if he doesn't close out his conversation with me, I love you, Mom, then there's something wrong. I don't think I've ever had it happen to me. He does that with his daughter. He does that with his wife. He does that with aunts, uncles. It doesn't matter. He would do the same thing. And he would not be afraid to show his love for, like, an uncle in a restaurant, hug him. I mean, and that's very Italian. They show their feelings. But from a broken home, you know, I'm thinking about that. That could really do a number on men and women, because they don't know what it's like, and it scares them. It just petrifies them. Oh, my gosh, if I say I love you, and I'm saying it to somebody who comes from a home that doesn't really understand that, I mean, it could make them run and not want to be around you because they don't understand. So you have to be kind of careful with that. But then again, you know, Maya, I think you should, for me, I mean, it's easy to show how much you care for someone. It's simple. I mean, yes, you can get hurt from it. Yes, you can. I mean, it does happen. Sometimes you express your love or you have feelings for someone too much and they don't reciprocate, so then it throws you in some kind of whirlwind and you don't know how to gather your strength back, and yeah, it can really do a number on you. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take the chance. I think you should. I think you should show people love in any form that it is. Like, you know, we do, my son and I do in the grocery store. We were there again yesterday, telling everybody have a nice day. We help, we always help people in this grocery store. It's unreal. I think they wait for us to come in the door. Because we always, he's one, he's over at one person and I'm over at the other. I think you can have that glow about you that people smile at you because they just know you're a very loving person. I get it all the time. Even if I don't feel quite up to what I should be personally for myself, I don't let it stop me from being loving to other people ever, ever, ever. That never stops me. I feel that my own feelings and emotions, I stay within with it. You know, I talk to my aunt, I talk to you, but I really don't, I go around with a bad face or, you know, like a sad face or anything. I'm just easy to talk to and I'm easy to express how I feel. But I feel sorry for, I shouldn't say feel sorry, but for people that come from a broken home because they really don't understand what it means to love someone in the many different ways that you can love someone. It can be the love of a friend and or a potential mate, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is. But, yeah, it's just a great show of affection to me. And it's strange again. See, I was a strange little girl. I don't know where I got it from. But we figured it was just the angels that helped me along the way because nobody else really did. And I sometimes I – no, I don't. I was going to say sometimes I do it too much, but I don't think so. No. I don't say you know, my girlfriend Diane and I and my friend Vera and my friend Barbara and, of course, my goddaughter. We always hug and say I love you. My goddaughter sends me notes every other day. I just love you so much. I'm so lucky to have you as a godmother. Now she's a perfect example, and she wouldn't mind me. I'm not going to say her name. But she came from a home that was just her mother. Her father and her mother got a divorce. However, her grandparents, they were with the grandparents, and I watched her a lot. So she saw what love was. She heard it all the time. You know, her mom worked, and sometimes her grandparents would bring her over to my house. My son and her, well, they're like 2 years apart, so they could get along together, and they'd shoot hoops and all that kind of stuff. But see, she learned. She could have turned out to be not like that at all, but show of affection is easy for her. Now, I don't know about her male relationships. If she was listening, she'd probably be laughing. I don't see that in her, but I'm her godmother, so it's a little different. I think, and like my granddaughter, I sent her a text today, love you, I want you to come over and spend time with me. Okay, love you back. She always makes you feel good. She always, but she's in a home where the mom and the dad are there, and they express love all the time. And she sees what her father does with me, see?
Right, and I was going to say, although I agree to a point, I don't necessarily feel that just because you come from a broken home that
you're going to become.
And I know there's many people that come from their parents stayed married, and I think they had a much worse life than if their parents would have
separated. You're right about that.
Because what they saw was not, and which is another thing that I think is a concern in this world too. We think about the generation, like my youngest son, that generation born in the late 90s, and then we have the next generation, which would be my grandson. He just turned 11. And that generation, they're coming from a very different perspective than, say, you and I are, Natalie. And, you know, they're learning, too. What concerns me is that when we go back to love, you know, it's not something that you just say. Love to me is also step aside from the words. Not that it's not okay to be expressive and be verbal about it, but it's not just about the words we use. And I really think that some of these younger generations are getting very mixed messages of what love is. Now, you did bring up a good point when you said about broken homes. You know, over 50% of married couples end in divorce now, over 50%.
Wow.
So that's huge. and this topic isn't really about marriage and divorce, but it's important in the fact that children, I feel, or young adults, like, again, my son, I'm talking about those two generations, I feel are impacted the most. They're being brought up and they're seeing, for example, let's see, they're seeing a mother that has three or four husbands. I'm not too far off that mark, so I'm not in any way stereotyping or making judgments. What I'm suggesting, though, is that what example are we setting when we're saying, you know, I love this person, I'm going to spend my life with them, and we stay with them for a year. So love, you know, is not just about saying it, it's about what you do. And I think a lot of people get too hung up on, you know, well, so-and-so, they haven't dropped the L-bomb, they haven't said I love you yet. But then you ask them about the relationship and you think, wow, you know, this guy or this girl, whatever the case may be that they're with, is really, you know, I mean, they're really a good partner. They're devoted. They put the relationship first. And, you know, so there's a lot of angles and there's a lot of aspects. And I know that you're Italian and I'm familiar because I spent my high school years in Chicago. They're all Italian.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, yeah. Chicago, New York. Oh, yeah. New York City. Oh, yeah.
And they're very demonstrative. And,
yes.
For example, like my husband, now we've been married 20 years, and so that's a pretty long time. Now, he came from a very non-demonstrative, non-affectionate family. I'm not saying that they were cruel or they were mean. They just were not demonstrative, and they were, you know, they all kind of had their own life. Whereas my family, even like I have male cousins, and it's very, very platonic, but if I were to see my cousin, I mean, they wouldn't kiss me on the mouth, so don't misinterpret this. But they would hug me and squeeze me.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we say cuz. In fact, it was my one cousin, probably one of my favorite male cousins, and then it's his sister that's my favorite female cousin. And I said, love you, cuz, you know, we C-U-Z is what we call each other. Love you, cuz, remember the days. And, you know, I was remembering back and talking about some of the times when we really thought we were all that and we were just young punks running in. They lived in Cincinnati, which is a very iconic city as well, too. When you talk about New York and Chicago, Cincinnati's smaller, but it's very iconic. So for us, it's very normal that we were to hug. And I know for my husband, Dennis, when he first came into this family, you know, it was a little bit harder because he just wasn't accustomed to that. So for some people, we have to remember that it's not so much that they don't want to show affection or they don't want to show love or they don't want to say I love you. It's like what you said, they were brought up and they were raised in a setting or in an environment where either that wasn't shown or it was almost ridiculed. You know, I don't want to stereotype, but then again, I want to use an example of the mother that has had over, let's say she has a son, and over 10 years of his life, she's had 40 boyfriends and loved them all. Well, what kind of example does that set about what does love mean to him? I mean,
exactly.
I feel that, you know, he's then that young man is growing up with, well, what is love? Is love just sexuality? Is it just...
Right.
And where do we draw the line? Now, we know what platonic love is. And girls, you know, I laugh because we have to face it. I mean, we can try to be as politically correct as we want, but let's face it, males and females are different. Now, that's regardless of your sexual preference. I mean, just as persons, and how they act. Now, can you imagine, I'm talking about platonic friendships. Can you imagine a group of men all having a sleepover party and giggling and doing each other's hair? And
true.
And all climbing and saying, well, let's all sleep in the same bed. It's spooky. We're watching spooky movies. But yet,
right.
Now females would do that.
Oh, they would do that. They would do that.
And they wouldn't. It would not be taken, and not that there's anything wrong with, you know, that being your sexual preference. What I'm referring to is strictly in a platonic setting. Males are, they don't have that in them, and they're not given as much liberty as females are given when it comes to affection and love too. And I do feel that we have to remember that, both in the physical male. You know, we've talked before about spiritual gendering, and those that have strongly physical characteristics masculine characteristics versus feminine, because the feminine, I think, just tends to have a little bit more of that nurturing. So now, and what do you think when you think about where you come in with, or where you draw the line, or where's the difference to you, Natalie, when you think about attraction and lust and dating, where it goes into love? I mean, how do we define
do you define it? Exactly, because you, I think, I hate to say this, but I think it had more meaning when I was younger. Not that it even had more meaning, that's even wrong. Because of the way the world is right now, a lot of male-female relationships are all about sex. They don't even know what it's like to love that person, where it was different when I was growing up. That just didn't happen. And I'm not saying that it's bad. In a sense, it probably messes with everybody, because how are you going to know what love is? You know, then when I was really young, of course, I was, I don't think I was even told by my mother. I guess I learned it in school. I don't know. That you just didn't do those things until you were married. And I assumed that meant you loved the person, but oftentimes, and even then, it doesn't mean you love that person. So I always find it strange when I think about the young people today and how it is. Do they really know what love is? Can they define it, like you say? Or I hope so. I hope that even if they have relations with somebody and they don't really love them, that they find that special person, that they have that, there's a sense that you get that, like you said, that you want to be with them all the time. You want to protect them. You want to do for them. You know, all the things that encompass loving someone, whereas the other way is, well, okay, bye. But then what happens to the female? Does she think, oh, this guy must love me? No, not necessarily so. That's not true. It wasn't even true then, back then. You know, I mean, you can go into a lot of depth about that. And I don't know, I think it has a lot to do with how you're raised, the people that are around you, what you learn, maybe some of it in school. My granddaughter's 11. And she'll be 12 in June, and it's the time. My son and I were talking about her, and he wants to make sure she's well-informed. He's all for that, and he looks at me, and, you know, she calls me Gramble, and to be funny, you know. And he'll say, "Our Gramble's going to come get that kid," and I said, "Oh, you bet your sweet life." But, you know, you do that because, you see, we want her to understand what everything is all about the right way, if you can. But a lot of times you're influenced by your friends and what goes on around you. That's just the way that it is. But love is such a touchy thing. And I know, or say if a man calls a woman a lot, okay, and sees her and all that, she probably says to her girlfriend, "Do you think he loves me?" Well, how does she know if he loves her or not? Has he told her? Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's afraid to say that because he knows, she's going to think we're going to get married. It's really not cut and dry, is it? I mean, I don't know. It would be tough to be really young right now. I probably would be home a lot because I don't know if I would have that trust. If I was a real young woman going out, I mean, I think it would be pretty scary because it's just, everything's just so rampant. It's just, I don't want to say there's no.
But you didn't grow up, and neither did I. We have to keep in mind we can't project ourselves emotionally. And we are a product. It's called social mores. And those are the unwritten, they're not the laws like in legal justice system, but they're the merits of acceptance, the boundaries of acceptance. And, you know, if you look at romance and, like, just for example, pregnancy. When I was in high school, I graduated in 77, and so that I came from a suburb outside of Chicago, a huge, huge, huge school, and a huge graduating class, and there were probably in my graduating class, it would have been my junior or senior year, there may have been two or three out of 3,000 that were pregnant, and they were and it just so happened that one of them was a pretty good friend of mine because she worked where I worked. Another one was just someone that I kind of took under my wing. She just had a rough life. Let's just leave it at that. But they were ridiculed. They were frowned upon. So what I'm getting at is that the whole system and society frowned upon that. Now, again, I mentioned that I have a son. He just graduated. This June, it'll be a year since he graduated high school. And in his high school class, it was not uncommon. I would say 30% even freshmen. Well, the freshmen, they didn't really have high school. High school was only 3 years here where I live. So it would be sophomore, junior, and senior. But it was not, they didn't win prizes for being pregnant, but it was not anything that teachers frowned upon.
Right.
Kids didn't see them differently. I mean, it was just very accepted. So there's so many things that have changed in our world that, to some extent, I think, we've come a long way with opening our minds to some issues, which I think is good for people, but then, have we opened those gates a little bit too wide, perhaps? So that's where I think a lot of the confusion comes in with defining love and, does he love me? It just feels like there's so much writing on that. I feel that you can have a partner that loves you that's never said those words. But actually, if you look at the definition of caring, devoted, dedicated, committed, could actually love you more than someone that says, I love you in every text, in every phone call.
Right, and it doesn't mean a thing. Yeah, nothing behind it. Exactly.
Yeah. So to some extent, we do have to consider that they're just words. And it's the person that's standing behind those words and what it means to them. And, sometimes we maybe just have to take a moment and ask if someone is describing their love or they're professing their love. I really don't feel we often ask enough questions, and it would be a good time to say, well, what does love really mean to you? I mean, I'm not saying to you, Natalie, but I mean asking someone.
Right,
If you're in a relationship, and you're confused because you feel that there's not a good, you don't feel that there's a good definition in the relationship, and it's causing you chaos or anxiety, or you feel, well, what are the lines? You know what? Have a talk and sit down and ask the person. And you say, well, they say they love me all the time. Well, not that they don't, but maybe that means something much different to them. Maybe if you were to say, well, what does love really mean? Oh, well, it means I don't like you as a platonic friend. It means I like you in more of a romantic way. And that's
right.
What love means to them. Versus to somebody else, it means, well, love means that you stand out. You're someone that, if the relationship is continues forward, I'm looking at you possibly being in my future. So, I mean, there's just a lot of definitions behind it, and it can be very subjective, and it shouldn't be the end all. I mean,
right.
The I love you versus the omitting the I love you, or, you know, does he love me or does he not love me? It would be better to say, how important am I to him or to
her? That's right. That's right. And that can mean, that could mean absolutely everything to that person, rather than flowers and candy and all of that. Because sometimes, now my late husband was not a flowery person with showing of things. He didn't do that. And I'm talking about when we first got married. He didn't do that. But he came from a family that really had some difficulty expressing love. I mean, the mother and the father. But, however, he was the youngest. So, you know, and you can't even say, you know, my father-in-law was from Italy, and my mother-in-law was not, but she was Italian. So she was raised by her mother, who was born in Italy. So, you know, she had all that influence. But she was very demonstrative with her love. I mean, I was her favorite. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. I was her favorite. I wasn't her daughter, but it didn't matter. You know, and I think I've said that even her daughter told me that just 2 weeks ago. My mother always loved you more. She thought of you as your daughter. But the reason that she did is because I treated her with the greatest respect and love, and I could count on her. I knew it. My mother worked, but she didn't. And I could count on her. She taught me everything, her cooking, her what she did, how she made her soups, and all that kind of stuff. And I, being newly married, I loved that, you know. Anyway, I have to tell you a funny story, because when we first got married, my husband's birthday was in February. So I was going to make him a cake. Now, we had gotten married the July before. So we were living with my mother-in-law, and I'm making this cake. Well, it turned out god-awful. I mean, it was. So I'm trying to put this frosting on right and all that. And she's saying, oh, it looks good. And I said, it doesn't look good. It looks horrible. Oh, no. It looks good. You know, he's going to love it. See? And, well, I cringed when he came home because I thought, he's just not, what's he going to say about this? It was my first cake. But she, you know, she told me, she said, oh, no, he'll love it. Oh, no, he will love it. He's going to love it. You'll see. And he did. And it tasted good. It just looked awful, lopsided, you know. But I tried to build up the frosting on one end, and that was just really hilarious. And in a sense, you see, she took my side because she loved me.
Right.
She found a quote unquote daughter that she really didn't have, that she could nurture and teach, and I got it all from her. I really did.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because a lot of times the mother-daughter-in-law relationship, or the daughter-mother-in-law, however you want to look
right.
at it, can be one of the most, as we know, the evil mother-in-law.
Yeah,
know,
it can be.
Thing.
Yes, it can be. Yes, I agree.
That was a very healthy relationship, because, first of all, she didn't have to raise you and go through all the fighting in the teenage years. Not that you were bad, but the difference is we tend to rebel against our especially our mother, if they're paying attention to us. We do tend to rebel. But in that situation, you didn't have that background. Sometimes not having that background as a step-parent or a mother-in-law or a father-in-law gives us the advantage, is that the thing is, you saw somebody that had all this wonderful knowledge, and you weren't worried about, oh, she's going to say she knows best and she told me so.
No,
so
she never did that.
You were able to see her for the value that she really had. And, of course, that, you know, that resonated with her. So I can see where you two were able to build a wonderful relationship together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were this is how much she loved me. We were supposed to get this house. Because my husband had signed his agreement to start teaching at school, and so it was a big deal. Well, the house deal, it fell through. I mean, we really didn't go too far in the sale of it, but the guy decided to sell it to his mother-in-law or whatever it was. I don't even remember. My husband did not take that very well. He was really upset about it. I mean, he was angry. And my mother-in-law And it surprised me. He upset me, and she came in, and she put her arms around me. She says, "Don't you worry about it. Another house is going to come. You're going to see." And then she went and told him to shut up. So even yeah. then, and I, now that I'm thinking, I really had a great influence by her over me to show me, because she was a very generous woman. I mean, all her brothers and sisters lived with her, and at one time or another, and all that. You know, she was just, "Oh, take this home. You take this." So I guess part of that rubbed off on me. But she would side with me over my husband all the time. You know, she'd just shut up. Don't yell at her. This is not her fault. You know.
Yes.
And I would sit there and think, "Oh, this is good." And I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes, newly married, and he's hollering because we didn't get this house, right? But you can learn about love in different ways, and like the neighbor across the street for me. And my parents, they loved me, I'm sure. I just didn't see that demonstration of huggy kind of thing, and yet I'm very huggy. But you can see where I got it from. I got it from the influences around me. So you are shown this kind of thing. I was fortunate enough that I had a lady who just listened to the bird. This is Dixie, and she's going, "Oh, that means she really likes what I'm saying."
I wondered what that was.
That's her. I got her covered, and she's making these sounds, and I'm surprised she's not talking, because when she's covered, she talks a lot, even if I'm in the room. But she must like what I'm saying, because that's her little, see, she did it again. Yeah, so anyways, you know, love is, it can be tough in somebody's life when you fall in love, or you think you love this person and they don't love you back, and maybe they don't want to see you because you're so much in love with them that you're smothering them. That's really hard. That's really tough. My heart goes out to those gals and guys, because it's like to be rejected, you know. You thought that it was going to reciprocate all of it back to you, when in fact it's not going to. It's tough to get out of that, don't you think, Maya? It's tough to pick yourself back up again and say, "Okay, tomorrow's a new day. There'll be another person that will come along." And I was thinking the other day how unique we all are. We're all so different. Now, could you have planned it any better than that? No. Everybody's different. You look different, you act different, and different eye colors, and all, that's just the most unique thing, and that's what's the love part of the whole thing, too, I think, is just to love and take value in that. I do. But love is very strong in me, and it does hurt me. I get hurt very easily, believe it or not. People wouldn't even know that. They think, "Well, she's such a tough broad," but I am very sensitive, but I don't know. That might be my empath. I don't really know, but I can get hurt. Like if I could see myself, maybe it's the Venus and Scorpio, I could see myself falling for someone and nothing ever happens from it. That goes right deep into my heart and my soul. I love with both. I really do. Some people, they don't, you know, but there's a lot of it's very deep with me. Dixie says, "Oh, yeah, it is. She knows."
Yeah, she's agreeing.
Okay, I thought I'd cover up and she'd be quiet, but no. But she's that's kind of her cooing kind of sound. She's she likes it. She's listening,
yeah,
and she likes it.
She's enjoying the show.
She is. Oh, yeah, she is. Just like Leo. Remember, Leo used to talk, though, see? She doesn't talk in front of anybody.
Yeah.
But Leo,
yeah,
Leo would talk in front of me. But
and my dogs will occasionally... Don't get noisy.
She'll squawk. Like if she's covered and she knows she's supposed to have something in the morning to eat, I always do all that and change the papers and all that kind of stuff. Oh, she'll start squawking. But she doesn't squawk to my cat Mushy at all. He'll sit by her cage and she'll look down and Mushy looks up like, "Well, so you're a bird and I'm a cat. So you're in the cage and I'm outside the cage." But they don't try to attack each other or nothing. It's really amazing. I think they communicate with each other. I really do. Mushy knows to stay away from her.
Yeah, I believe that animals, I've learned a lot. And my guys have taught me a lot, too, because they've made me pay attention to things with animals. And animals do have a universal communication. And, you know, especially like within the species, there's even a greater communication. But even universally, I mean, earthlings, everything that we share the earth with that's alive, I believe has a way of communicating. Animals can communicate with each other. And they can generally get a sense of whether or not something is a threat, even if it's a natural predator like a cat and a bird, that a bird would see a cat or a dog, too, as a natural predator. But, yeah, there's instances when those barriers become broken. And, I mean,
and you can feel love from your pet. I know. I do Bougie all the time. I think dogs can do it easier. Cats are usually loners, but this cat, like I think I've said, he allows me to live in this house. And, he struts around like the big cats you'd see out in the wild, the big ones, this is like he is. Man, he struts, and, of course, we had other cats like that. Reggie was like that. But in the morning, I always have my coffee before I get online to do the blog, and he always knows. And he follows me around, and if I don't do it fast enough, he'll look at me, he starts talking, and then he runs. Like, he'll run to where I always sit. And every morning he's right beside me, and he's rubbing against me, and he gives me little kitty kisses, and, she's getting louder now. They can show love, and Dixie shows me love, even though she's not really my bird. I mean, you should see her with Jen. I mean, Jen picks her up, tips her upside down. I can put my hand in there and change her papers and everything, and sometimes she'll come towards me, and I'll say no, and then she backs away. So we have an understanding, her and I. I'm not saying that she couldn't bite me, because she probably would if I put my hand in and tried to grab her, because that's her little home. But I feel she shows me love by what she does as best as she can. And now we're going into cats and dogs about how they love. But it's true. I mean, it's universal. It's everywhere.
They
and it's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's in many ways it's easier to understand the love we have and the love we're shown by pets, because it's very consistent and it's very stable. And so when we're looking... when we're thinking about love from another person, I believe that there's some universal. Well, here, let me just do something real quick.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, do it. Oh, I love her.
Yeah,
oh, I love that lady.
Throw that in there because
Tina Turner. Oh yes, I love her. That's a good movie to watch.
And you think about, what does love have to do with it? Well, universally, we have to look at, if we're questioning love in a relationship, and, I mean, we can do this with a friend. There's a lot of people that have issues with a friendship, you know, it's out of balance, and so it all goes back to love. Or, you know, mostly it's romantic. And I think we really have to look at some of the most universal things. And you talked about people that are obsessing and that are pushing that love comes, if we look at love coming from spirit and being a spiritual connection to ourselves, to the collective, which is everyone, to earthlings, to everything that lives on the planet, and to divine, if it starts there at the top, real true love is really all about, and that's our, you know, that's what we're trying to attain or achieve, then there's some things that we can say are universally true. There's people that have written poems about this, and that's one thing is love is gentle, love is understanding. And I believe that when we truly love someone, again, platonic or romantic, we want the best for them. We're thinking, you know, not that we're a martyr walking around just, you know, we'll all sacrifice anything. That's not really love either, because love doesn't ask that of us. But it does, if you're questioning your love, you know, how do I feel? Do I really love the person? Am I just in love? Which we hear that all the time. In love to me just means that there's a strong chemistry right now, but you don't know that person. And that's another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up quickly. You know, my guides are very supportive, especially in this technological day and age where a lot of us have very busy lives and people are constantly with all these gadgets and doodads and whatnot. Everything is on, you're on kicks, you're on Instagram, you're, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's not just a place to promote your business or businesses, but also yourself. And there is an area, a large area, and there's a lot of successful people that meet other people, whether it's just for some companionship or love. But ideally, I do believe there's some things that are universally true. And one is we can enter into what may feel like it could develop into love, but I don't believe that we can have a true love of that deep, abiding, lasting life partner type, best friend, companion forever without having some type of face-to-face interaction. So these people that end up getting hurt or betrayed or catfished, we talked about that before, and,
right.
You know, people that go, you know, all this time and they don't even video chat, perhaps. And that's not to say that they can't feel that love, but it just doesn't give it any way of expressing. And the other thing is it should make us want to be better people, and it should inspire us to want that for someone else. So if someone that supposedly loves you is trying to keep you from furthering your career or going back to school because it's going to inconvenience them or inconvenience your life together, then I would question how much that person loves you versus themselves, because loving someone, again, in that true highest sense, friendship or romantic, the relationship always is a separate entity. And I believe everything is about putting the relationship first. And for the most part, not that we're all going to be perfect and not fight and argue, but we're going to put what's best for that person. We're going to think
right.
about them and how we can make them. And I know that that's how you try to live your life with the people that you love, Natalie, is by giving them and, you know, doing what's right. And so that's what it's about. If you're in a relationship, don't worry so much about whether they've said, I love you or not. And maybe not even worry so much about having to define if this is love, but worry about defining, does this person make me feel good about myself?
Right. They don't even have to hear the word love to feel good within themselves. And that's true. What about somebody, I read this somewhere, that somebody that says, I've had a lot of relationships, but I've never been in love. I find that, I guess that could be true, correct? I mean, okay, so what were these relationships? They were just relationships. We were friends, but I wasn't in love with them, you know, I guess.
Well, I would say that definitely could be true, and it's either because they either never allowed themselves to be vulnerable. I mean,
I think that's what it is. It's being vulnerable.
Well,
I think you're right.
And it goes back to the cold pool. You can sit there for 2 hours dipping your toes in the pool. When you jump in, it's going to be just as cold as if you would have just jumped in to begin with. So all you've done is waste 2 hours. And
exactly.
If you're not going to jump in, then take off your bathing suit and leave.
Right.
Because
right.
love always, 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 always requires risk. There's no way.
Yeah, and maybe this person doesn't want to risk.
Exactly.
And that's usually the case. There's something, I mean, I can't say that of myself. I haven't been in a lot of relationships, but never been in love, that's not, doesn't apply to me. Because if I, if it ever were to happen to me, you can bet I would love that person. I mean, I have, you could say, ground rules. I have certain parameters around, things around me that you'll know if I love you. You'll know.
Yes.
And I would expect to get that reciprocated back to me. If I don't, then we can be friends. But that's as far as it will go. I don't go over, I mean, and I used to be like crazy being loving, and you're not loving somebody, but liking even kids and guys in school and all that. I mean, I would just be so obsessed, but I've grown. I would not do that now, not at all. I would be reserved. I would like to see, what does that mean? If somebody, if he came and said, well, I really love you. Well, let me see. Let me see. I'll hold back and find out. I want to see what's going on here. Does this person really love me? But I'm older, so I can do that. Don't sell yourself short. What?
No. And don't, you know, you can't force someone to try to be with you. You can't force someone to love
no.
you and to come from within them. And I would find it hard for someone who said to me, who was, I mean, not someone that was in their 20s, but let's say someone that was 40-ish or older, if they said, well, I've been in a lot of relationships, but I can't say that I've ever really been in love, I would say that there's a very slim possibility that their soulmate or one of and their life partner just hasn't entered their life, or they're not taking risks, or they're not admitting something is broken somewhere.
Yeah,
because I believe even as, you know, my son, when he was 13 or 14, his ability, his capacity to love has changed and grown with each person as he's matured, just like we have. We don't love the same at 40 or 50 or 60 that we did at 19 or 20. So it does change, but it would be suspicious. I mean, not suspicious, but I mean, I would be concerned with someone that made that statement, and then I would question, like, people that say, you know, well, they have lived with someone or they've been married. I mean, there's a few really extenuating circumstances that come up from time to time. But
oh, I want to ask you something before we end. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I do too.
You have to believe in that. You have to know that it does happen. It may not happen to you or to those listening to the show right now, but it does happen, that person just, there's just something that happens within. It's not got to do with looks. There's just something. And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so you can love somebody immediately. I'm talking about a relationship. And you don't really know why. You just know that you really feel an awful lot for that person, and you want it to develop into something. I think that's wonderful.
I would say this, that doesn't necessarily give it any better chances, nor does it lessen the chances of that love being able to be a life partner, because we still have to be compatible. We still have to learn to cope and define our roles within the relationship. So we still have a lot to overcome. But can we feel that feeling of love upon first meeting someone? I absolutely feel that we can. And I believe that, just like you said, my guides will never give, if we're doing a love reading, people say, well, what does he or she look like? I will not give. They don't give it to me either. So I don't do physical descriptions. I might say, well, they feel like they're on the tall side or something like that, because that just goes against everything. You know, if I said, well, they're going to have blue eyes and brown hair, I mean, there's no way we would get that out of our head.
Right.
And I could be seeing something from a past life or whatever. So, and people will say, well, what does he or she, what do they like about me? What are they attracted to? Well, that's very difficult to explain, because sometimes it's just the scent of a person. I was just discussing this with someone the other day about a person's scent, how important that is.
Fair enough.
And
exactly.
Believe it or not, that is very significant. And
that is
one of the first inclinations if there's going to be an attraction and something more is going to develop. Now, we talked about love at first sight. I also believe in what I call the three-date rule. I believe that there are times that people enter our life, and for whatever reason, now I don't believe we should date them for 6 months, but I do believe strongly that we can miss those signals, or the timing is off the first time or two we see them, and that it can suddenly flood us by the second or third date. Now, if it doesn't happen by the third, I call it the third date rule. If it doesn't happen by the third time we've encountered that person, it's likely not going to. But if everything else is in place, if you've met someone and you said, they don't really do anything for me, but, you know, they were nice, we had fun, we laughed, they were a gentleman, or he was a lady, you know, I liked your sense of humor, I believe that you should pursue that for no other reason than just for the friendship. Because now, do you believe that you can see someone and not be bowled over by them the first time, but then the second time, or maybe even up to the third time, something just shifts and all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it can, except that how many times, if you see somebody and you really, you don't feel anything for that person, do you just push them aside? And maybe you've missed a great opportunity, you don't know. So I think that's a good thing to go by. Give them a second or third, and maybe they feel the same way about you. Well, it wasn't really that great, you know. So, but I, you know, I loved how we had fun. We liked the same things, all that kind of stuff. And maybe after the third time, you end up being good friends, and it doesn't really develop into anything. And love at first sight doesn't have to have a rhyme nor a reason. It can be the most unique pair. Like maybe he's really a lot older than her, or vice versa. You don't know. I've seen it, and I believe that. I mean, I think that would be a beautiful thing. That, you know, think about it. Love at first sight. That would be beautiful. But I think that when you talk to somebody and they say, "Oh yeah, I knew I loved her right away. I was going to marry her." Well, and you look at the relationship and you think, "Well." Well, God, she's a lot older than you. And that man would say, so? You see, love is kind of mixed. I mean, it can be a lot of different things. And there isn't a set rule. There aren't parameters that are going to say, okay, you have to fall in this to be in love. It has to be this way. No, it doesn't work that way. No, no, no. Let the divine or God, whoever you believe in, let that be your guide. Just, like a lot of people say, give it to God. Well, you know, okay, I would like this type of man, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't have to be really rich, but be able to take care of himself. I can take care of myself. Okay, God, you heard what I want. And, you know, we all know that I talk to God every day. I'm relentless. And but sometimes maybe it just doesn't come through for whatever reason. But love at first sight, I love that, and I believe in it totally. And it never happened to me. Not that I know of, I don't think. Did it ever happen to you, love at first sight, Maya?
I'll have to plead the fifth on that one.
Okay. Well, since my husband isn't here anymore, I could have said, oh, yeah. But no, I have not had a lot of relationships, so I can't really say. But anyways, it's kind of fun to think about.
Well,
love,
I have known people that I do believe that has occurred for them. And one is my female cousin, the one that I said, my male cousin, I said, happy birthday, love you, cuz. His sister, who's quite a bit older than me, so I always looked up to her. Now she, and they're still married to this day. I think they've been married, I don't know, I'm going to say 40, maybe 45 years. And he was a senior in high school. And then I know it's time to wrap
no,
it up.
No, I left it go. We're not going to be cut off. I want everybody to hear exactly what we have to say, so I didn't let it cut out. I just extended it another 30 minutes just so we could finish up properly.
Well, I know that she was the only daughter, and she was raised strict Catholic, and they were very strict with her. And she was working for her dad. She'd gone to secretary school back then, is what they called it. And he was in his senior year of high school, and he was already going to college, which he did go to architectural school. In fact, they lived in Africa for off and on for 10 years doing something architectural with, I'm not really sure what, but she would talk about practically the mansions. And anyways, she happened to be back at the high school to pick up a friend of hers, and they met, and it was instantaneous. And, you know, her parents, he came and met her parents, and they were concerned because he was still in high school, but they absolutely love him. Her mother has since passed away. But they're ones that it was love at first sight, and they've lasted. They had two children. They have several grandchildren now.
Right.
And they do a lot of things together. And if you see pictures of them, they look just as happy now as they did on the day that they got married.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
I know people that, and I know people too that have said the same thing, that have come from a date and said, you know, it was okay. I mean, you know, I wasn't like, oh gosh, he or she is this or that, but I just really wasn't feeling it. And they went ahead and gave it another chance. And that second time, something changed. And, you know, they'll say, why is that? Well, I mean, I don't always know why that is. Maybe it's just that you needed to learn the lesson that sometimes we have to give things a little bit more of a chance. And
right.
So, like you said, if you turn something away too quickly, I mean, it's like raising up my grandson and saying, you know, you never have to eat something you don't like, but you always have to give it a try.
Right.
And then if you don't like it, that you're fine, you're excused. And, of course, 9 times out of 10, what it ends up, oh, Grandma, that's my favorite.
Right, they end up loving it. Exactly.
That's
true.
So, and if he doesn't, then I hold to him. I say, you tried it, that's what counts. You don't have to eat another bite, honey, which is rare.
Yeah.
I mean, like broccoli and some of the kind of things. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a big seafood lover. But anyways, love, I mean, one thing I think that I would end with is just to keep in mind that whatever love you have, romantic, platonic, it should be good. You shouldn't have to chase after it. You shouldn't have to look for it in every crack and corner. You shouldn't have to keep lists and say, okay, he or she did this. I'm pretty sure that means love. Love should be fairly obvious. It shouldn't,
right.
It shouldn't stalk you, but it shouldn't be it's not a, what do they call them, a treasure hunt? Or
yeah.
I think there's another word for it. You know what I mean, where you go up
yeah.
on a scavenger hunt. It shouldn't be a scavenger hunt where, you know, you're having to say, well, now he called, when he sent that last text, he called me darling. I haven't seen him for 2 years, but I'm pretty sure he loved me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know.
He probably says darling to a lot of ladies.
Well,
or
right,
that might be
right.
his way of being, of showing some kind of that I like you, you're my friend. I do darling a lot. I'll do it to people all the time. Especially the men that I have on the site, I have to be careful. I don't send them X's and O's. But, you know, some I'll say love ya. There's one that I'll say love ya. Two of them, and they say it back. But there's some that it's just, it's okay, darling. I'll do that a lot with, like, Star Celestial. She doesn't do the astrology on time. It's okay, darling. Don't worry. Do it tomorrow, you know. But, yeah, that's just a nice, friendly word. But love at first sight is very neat. I hope everybody does experience it in their lifetime. And it can be a very lasting thing for you. And it doesn't end and give you a feeling that, well, that wasn't love. Now, am I ever going to have love, well, you have to try it again. That's all. I mean, that's what it is, right? We have to keep doing. If you don't do, you don't do, and that's it. You just have to keep trying. I have to tell myself a lot of times, I don't ever with the business. The business is wonderful. But personally, I have to keep saying to myself, oh, okay, now, you know, because I'm alone and I don't really like it. But I always, when I talk to my cat, I always say, God's with us, Mushy. Don't you worry. He's got our back. And but you know how spiritually I am, how spiritual I am, and that's just the divine for me. That's it. And I think also too that when it comes your way, I mean, if something kind of falls into place, you have a chance to meet someone or go somewhere and then meet someone. Just try and see. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to marry that person, but give it a try. You know, see what it's like. And always have a girlfriend to pick you up if you need it. You know, Diane always teases me. She says, don't you worry. She says, you ever go out and you need me, call me, I'm there. I will come and get you. So you have to have a girlfriend there ready. I think this has been a great topic. I love the subject of love. I really do. I think it can mean many things, and we've covered that. And I don't know next week what it's going to be about, but I know my Maya Moon will come up with something wonderful. She always does. Well, she convenes with her guys, and they decide, okay, we're going to talk about this. And you must read the blog. She writes the blog every single day. She didn't today because she had some things to do. But now tomorrow you'll read all about what we discussed. It's always the same. She does it all the time, and she'll do different, you know, like part one, part two, part three. And really, it's all coming. She channels all that. And like I've told her before, a lot of times I feel like we need to tell Natalie something. I think we'll talk about this today. And that's what happens. And I get it. I'll say, okay, yeah, I got it. Okay, you know. But it's a wonderful thing. And love people that you want, and try to get to know them and do wonderful things for them. And with that, did you say you're closing, or do you want to say bye, or what do you want to do here, Maya?
Well, I pretty much just said I appreciate you letting them know about the blog, and you know, be sure if you didn't, you know, get a chance to, the blog will be following the topic, which is what I usually do. So you'll get to read more. And for those that didn't get to listen, of course, that's silly, because if they're not listening, they're not going to hear what I'm saying. So anyways, I guess I'll say I love everybody in some way or form. And, you know, be good to yourselves. Love yourselves. And with that, good night, goodbye, and love and
see you next week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hasta la vista. And with, you know, I'm Natalie Starcast. I didn't even say that in the beginning, but I have a very special group on the site. I have never, I can't say that. I mean, when I had Planet Stars alone, I had a group there, which was a lot smaller, but it's wonderful. Go see them. You'll feel so much better. Some of the clients end up being such good friends that they feel they have to talk to them at least once a week and 10 minutes or whatever. If you're a new client coming to the site and you sign up, you get 5 free minutes, and we're sending out a mailer to all of our new clients who have never purchased before that you will automatically get 5 free minutes. You don't have to make a purchase with it. We have that on the site that you have to, but Tony, we're taking that off. I talked with Tony today. But the site is really wonderful. It's elegant. It's just high-spirited, and it just, there's a lot of light that comes from it. I had a gal who applied. I so want to work for you. I've heard so many things about you and that site, and it just, the light is just so strong coming from it. Now, that makes me feel really good, because that means everybody that's on that site has that within them, and it's a great group. So with that, I will thank Candy, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. She's in the chat room right now, and she knows I love her very much. And everybody on the site, of course, and my Maya Moon. Notice I say my Maya Moon. And we'll be back next week and with another topic from 8 to 9. So with that, I will say good night. See you next week.